Let me pray, and then we'll say a little bit about the next couple songs. Father, we come before you this morning, and we need you. We come here to reflect on who you are and who you say we are. We want to live for you. So, Father, we ask right now that your Spirit would overwhelm us, that we would see, understand, hear, and feel the presence of your Spirit in this place. You are holy, and you are worthy. Draw us into a spirit of worship, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, this is You Are My All in All. And we're going to sing the first verse in the chorus. And then when it's time for the second verse, the men are going to sing the second verse, and the women are going to sing the chorus. And then we're going to switch it. So men, follow me. Women, follow the women up here. But it'll also be on the screen. But I want to read you the words of the verse 2. Men, we are singing this first. We're taking the lead, right? Taking my sin, my cross, my shame, rising again, I bless your name. You're singing this today. Your sin and your shame. Those are the reasons why we typically don't rise and praise the name of God. Taking my sin, my cross, my shame, rising again, I bless your name. You're my all in all. When I fall down, you pick me up. When I'm dry, you fill my cup. You're my all in all. We're going to sing this, and then there's going to be a couple other choruses, and we're going to go right into the last song. So I just want to encourage you, however the Spirit moves you, just worship through this.
You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious jewel. Lord, to give up, I'd be a fool. You are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God, are worthy of it all.
Good morning, and welcome to our worship service. Thank you, worship team. That is just, I love praising the Lord in song with this group of people here that love to praise God. It's an amazing thing to be a part of, and the Spirit was definitely moving. If you would turn in your Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 30, we want to look at worshiping the Lord and maybe not always doing it perfectly. So we'll start in verses 1 through 3 here, and then we'll drop on down. So Hezekiah sent word to all Israel and Judah, and also wrote letters to Ephraim and Manasseh, inviting them to come to the temple of the Lord in Jerusalem and celebrate the Passover to the Lord, the God of Israel. The king and his officials and the whole assembly in Jerusalem decided to celebrate the Passover in the second month. They had not been able to celebrate it at the regular time because not enough priests had consecrated themselves and the people had not assembled in Jerusalem. So here we see, it's been a long time since they have done this, and they're not exactly familiar with it anymore. So you drop down to verse 17. We'll pick it up there. Since many in the crowd had not consecrated themselves, the Levites had to kill the Passover lambs for all those who were not ceremonially clean and could not consecrate their lambs to the Lord. Although most of the many people who came from Ephraim, Manasseh, Issachar, and Zebulun had not purified themselves, yet they ate the Passover, contrary to what was written. But Hezekiah prayed for them, saying, "May the Lord, who is good, pardon everyone who sets their heart on seeking God, the Lord, the God of our ancestors, even if they are not clean according to the rules of the sanctuary." And the Lord heard Hezekiah and healed the people. The Israelites who were present in Jerusalem celebrated the festival of unleavened bread for 7 days with great rejoicing, while the Levites and the priests praised the Lord every day with resounding instruments dedicated to the Lord. So here we see the people worshiping God in a way that was not quite correct. But the Lord is after your heart, just like the worship time. Maybe you bring your shame and your guilt, but he wants to see your heart coming after him, and he will honor that. And he cleansed the people, just as Hezekiah prayed, because their hearts desired to serve him. And Samuel, he says, "Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much in obeying the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than that of the fat of rams." So the Lord honored their desire to worship him. So they did that for 7 days, and after the 7 days, they were like, "This is awesome." So they did it for a whole other 7 days. If you go on down to chapter 31, then this brings about the change that we so often think that we need to have before we can worship the Lord. But they worshiped the Lord, turned their hearts to him. And then chapter 31, verse 1, "When all this had ended, the Israelites who were there went out to the towns of Judah, smashed the sacred stones, and cut down the Asherah poles. They destroyed the high places and the altars throughout Judah and Benjamin, and in Ephraim and Manasseh. After they had destroyed all of them, the Israelites returned to their own towns and to their own property. So worshiping the Lord is going to bring about that change. So do that first. Let's bring our hearts to the Lord, worship him, and he will bring about that change in our lives. If the ushers could come forward, our offering this morning is for the Brotherhood Aid. And we are blessed to be a part of a brotherhood like this. And one of the ways that it is a blessing is that we share with each other when we're in need. So let's pray. Father, we are thankful for your blessings to us. Lord, we enjoy physical blessings in this land. We're grateful for it. And we share them. As we share them with each other, we share them with you. And Father, we ask your blessing on this offering now. We ask that you would bless those who give and also the ones that receive. And we pray that your kingdom would be advanced through that. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
The Mennonite hymnal 215. Come gracious Spirit.
Blake will be bringing our message this morning. Let's pray. Father, I lift up my brother Blake to you. Lord, I pray that you would calm nerves, bring words that you have for him to share. And God, we pray for our hearts to receive what you have for us this morning. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Well, good morning. I want to greet you and speak to you in the worthy name of Jesus. If you have a Bible, I invite you to turn to Galatians chapter 5, and we'll use verses 16 to 26 for a text this morning. I stand before you feeling afraid and unworthy, but I do want to recognize that it is a great privilege to get to speak with you about the things of God. And I want to say here at the outset that I'm very grateful to be a part of a church where Christ is exalted and the gospel is preached Sunday in and Sunday out. I also want to exhort us as a congregation, myself first and foremost, that we do not just let this gospel become commonplace in our lives. And what I mean by commonplace is to just kind of go in one ear and out the other, sort of ordinary or not special. The good news of the gospel is very precious, and may we always marvel and wonder that the Word became flesh, that Jesus truly was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. May we always be excited to read about and to hear about the life and ministry of Christ, a life and ministry that was without flaw, yet a life and ministry that was not well received by many. And may we have a reverent sadness for the physical brutalities that our Lord endured while here on this earth, yet may we also have the humility to recognize that many times we too have hid our faces from Him. And as we consider Christ's crucifixion at Calvary, may our sorrow turn to extreme gratitude, because it is there that the penalty for your sin and my sin was paid in full. And may joy and amazement overwhelm us as we reflect on that empty tomb and the blessed reality that Christ has truly conquered death, hell, and the grave. And may it always bring us a great peace to know that even right now, our Lord Jesus resides at the right hand of God, and He intercedes for you and I to this very day. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Galatians 5:15. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you before, just as I told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Well, I could have titled this message, Walk by the Spirit, but I chose to title it, Don't Let the Old Man In, and here's why. Back in August, I turned 40, and in the days and weeks leading up to my birthday, I did some reflecting on my life, and it seemed like all I could remember was the sins, the regrets, the failures. Thank you, partner. And the failures of my past, and really it was kind of a discouraging place to be in. And I thought, man, I would just love to have a reset in life. So my birthday weekend rolled around, and Amy and I, my dear wife, and I were able to get out of town for a couple, 3 days, and we had just the most blessed time of our 19 years of marriage. It is something that I will always cherish and remember. And I remember coming back up Interstate 64 thinking, man, this old 40 thing ain't so bad after all. But I don't have rose-colored glasses, and I know that much of the Christian walk is suffering, but I thought I was off to a pretty good start. The following business day, I returned to work. Within 30 minutes of returning to work, a situation arose that was less than ideal. And I remember tromping across the parking lot, stewing about how I could possibly fix the situation. I walked around the back of a trailer, was met there by a young man that I highly respect and admire. And he looked at me and grinned. And he said, Happy birthday, Blake. Don't let the old man in. Now, my buddy got that phrase, "don't let the old man in," from a piece of music that was written by a man who would go on to die from cancer. And the song is about not letting the old man in from a physical standpoint. It's about getting up, getting after it, stay active, don't let the old man in. And I've thought about that phrase many times since, and I can't help but draw a correlation or a parallel to not letting the old man in from a spiritual standpoint. One of the most beautiful and profound illustrations in all of the Christian walk is baptism, where that old man is taken down beneath the water, buried, and the believer comes up, the Christian comes up new and alive in Christ. It is a glorious depiction, and I don't want to undermine it in any way, but allow me to make this observation. The old man longs to make a return in the believer's life. Or said another way, the flesh loves to rear its ugly head. So how do we not let the old man in from a spiritual perspective? We walk by the Spirit. Now listen, when one repents of their sin and they place saving faith in Christ, they become a new creation. And that's a glorious thing. The old has passed away, behold, the new has come. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says. So, praise God for that. The power of the flesh has been defeated. But the flesh itself is not totally destroyed, and it will not be totally destroyed until Christ comes back to make all things new. We cannot assume that when we surrender our lives to Christ that our problems and struggles will just diminish and go away. Probably for most of us, when we surrendered our life to Christ, that is when the real struggle began. But praise be to God, He has given us a powerful weapon to combat the flesh with, and that's the Holy Spirit. So what is the Holy Spirit, one might ask? Well, in the final weeks, maybe even days of our Lord's ministry here on this earth, He told His disciples, "I am going to leave you, but I will not leave you as orphans," He said. He said, "I will send you the Helper," and that's found in John 16. Now that Helper, capital H, is the Holy Spirit, the third yet equal part of God's Holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. One of the names that Christ is given is Emmanuel, which means God with us. But Christ is not physically with us to this day. Currently, or at this day, He currently resides at the right hand of God. But be not dismayed. God is still with us. Listen to 1 Corinthians 3:16. It says, "Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" So maybe you're thinking, do I have the Holy Spirit in me? Or when does the Holy Spirit come into us? Well, I believe the Scriptures imply that when one repents of their sin and places saving faith in Christ, it is then that the Holy Spirit comes and takes up a permanent residence in the Christian's life. Now you say, permanent, that sounds like an awfully strong word. But let me read you this scripture from Ephesians 1, verse 13. It says, "In Him, Christ, you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise." What a glorious promise that is. Sealed with the Holy Spirit. May it be that everyone here and everyone looking on is sealed with this Holy Spirit. Friday, I was talking to a good brother, a good friend on the phone about eternity, about heaven and hell. And we, in the course of the conversation, it was brought up that in 100 billion years from now, you will be no closer to the end of serving eternity than the day it began. That is a very sobering, sobering reality, but it's true. So, we receive the Holy Spirit by believing in Christ. And do you know why we yield to the flesh sometimes, or why we struggle with sin? It's because of unbelief. Unbelief is the root of sin. John 16, 8 and 9 says, "And when He, the Holy Spirit, has come, He will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in Me, Jesus." Dearly beloved, we must keep our eyes fixed upon Christ. When we take our eyes off of Christ, we immediately become vulnerable to the flesh. Our text today says that those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So it's a dying to self. It's a giving up of temporary satisfaction. On our own, we naturally gravitate toward the flesh, so we need help. Yet the flesh has nothing to offer that will bring a deep and abiding peace. Sure, there are things from the text in 19 to 21 that may bring about a short-term pleasure, but the long-term ramifications for sin will only cause the opposite of peace, only heartache and struggle. We must consciously choose to deny the flesh, to take up our cross and follow Christ. Romans 8, 7 says, "For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God." So there's a great friction. There's a great friction between the spirit and the flesh. I'd like to read a quote from D.A. Carson. It says, "People do not drift toward holiness. Apart from grace-driven effort, people do not gravitate toward godliness, prayer, obedience to Scripture, faith, and delight in the Lord. We drift toward compromise and call it tolerance. We drift toward disobedience and call it freedom. We drift toward superstition and call it faith. We cherish the indiscipline of lost self-control and call it relaxation. We slouch toward prayerlessness and delude ourselves into thinking we have escaped legalism. We slide toward godlessness and convince ourselves that we have been liberated." Dearly beloved, the flesh is a dangerous thing. So how do we combat that fleshly desire that we all deal with? Romans 13, 14 offers this. "But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust." So make no provision for the flesh, right? Don't give it a platform. Don't feed the flesh. Starve it. So for someone who wrestles with alcoholism, don't put yourself in a position to be tempted by your fleshly desire. Stay away from bars, or stay away from that little country store that you think only you and the clerk know about. Or maybe it means setting up some accountability with your spouse or a trusted friend, that you won't go to a store alone because you know your weakness. Or maybe you're like myself, and there are times when you struggle with envy and comparison. How do we make no provision for that? Well, maybe it means to delete social media, because that's the place that we're most tempted with envy and comparison. Or maybe when someone one-ups us, we could have a prayer for them, a prayer of blessing. But whatever it is that you're dealing with, I want to encourage us all to fight it, to battle it, to wage war against the sin in our lives. And I tell you, unregenerate people do not wage war against their sin. So what is the weapon that we use to fight the flesh with? The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, Ephesians 6:17. So how do we actually walk in the Spirit? Well, I think it's sort of a joining with or a syncing up with, maybe a tractor and a wagon type deal, where the John Deere is the Spirit and we're the wagon. We follow along. Where the Spirit leads, we follow. So it kind of seems, life kind of seems like a rhythm. And I ask you, what is the rhythm of your life? Are you synced up and led by the Spirit of God? Or are you driven by the flesh? Romans 8, verses 5 and 6 says, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." The things that will bring us true freedom and liberation are love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. May we be a people who do not just profess the Holy Spirit. May we be a people who possess the indwelling of God's Holy Spirit in our lives. And if we want to have thriving families and marriages, we must walk by the Spirit. If we want to be pure in this wicked and perverse world, we must walk by the Spirit. If we want to be a people who speak words of truth, life, and blessing, not gossip and slander, we must walk by the Spirit. And to the dear elderly people among us, you may just think that you're quietly fading away, but let me assure you that you are being watched and you are needed. You are necessary. And the example that you are leaving will be either a positive or a negative legacy. If you want to finish well, walk by the Spirit. So before I close, I would like to give honor to some of my coworkers who came today. You're my friends, and thank you for being my friends. God bless you and your families. And to us all, let's be a people who walk by the Spirit and don't let the old man in.
Thank you, Blake, for that very inspiring word. It's so true for all of us. Chester and Jackson, if you guys would make your way forward, we have some announcements. We're going to go through the announcements, and then Micah and the Keeners will close it out. Chester, if you want to, and Jackson as well, wherever you are. Go ahead.
All right, I want to update you on the Sunday evening. You see in the bulletin, the worship night is crossed out and said it's going to be rescheduled. So, yeah, that'll be coming. You'll hear more about that. Our next Sunday evening program will be a movie night, and we're waiting till the movie comes out. It's going to be the new David movie. So you'll be updated. We'll try to give you a little bit of warning on that. But it'll be a movie and game night, hopefully beginning of February sometime. So hope you all come out for that.
Thank you, Chester. Not sure where Jackson is, but other announcements here. So tomorrow night, Monday night, is the ladies' jail service. It's being prayer for them. Lois Torres, Miriam Kreider, Carolyn Heatwall. And then also Wednesday this week is the prayer meeting here. Be here for that. It's always a good time. Coming before the Lord like that, and the youth will be teaching the children in the basement as well. And also next Sunday, this is not in your bulletin, next Sunday here in the auditorium, Nazarene and Erica will be sharing during the Sunday school hour about Iraq things that are happening there. Erica, the things she saw on her trip there, and the way God's moving there. Calendars are available in the back after, pick yourself one up if you don't have one already. There's a bunch of prayer requests on the back. I'm going to pray over some of these, and then Steve will have some songs, and then Micah will close out the service. So, actually, if you would all stand to pray. Father, we're so thankful for who you are, God, a God who is worthy of praise, and a God who is gracious towards us. We are unworthy of your grace and your love. We recognize that, but we're grateful that you do. And Father, as we commemorate or think about our brotherhood here, we think of the people that are not with us due to sickness. Think especially of Sheila, Brent, Dave, and Bria. Lord, we lift them all up to you. We pray for your healing touch in their lives. We pray especially for their hearts, Lord, that you would comfort them and just be very close to them as they walk through these difficult times. And Lord, we pray also for our nation and the nations around the world where there's so much upheaval and it's very clear that the enemy is at work. God, we pray for your people to rise up, to be bold, and to be your hands and your feet, and to be your mouthpiece here in this world. We thank you, God, that you are here and that you care about everything that is happening here. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Mennonite hymnal again, 305. When I saw what the sermon title was, Don't Let the Old Man In, I thought of this song right away, Oh for a Closer Walk with God. A little background, the author here is in the 1700s in England. He was born to a minister's family, but his mother died when he was 6 years old. He was small, and through the orphanages and the homes he went to, he was bullied, and he faced depression, even tried suicide, but a doctor, Christian doctor, led him to the Lord. And after he got out, he went to live in a home with a Christian woman. For once, he had a woman, a mother, to take care of him. Well, she got severely ill, and he was lapsing back in to almost lost it again when this song came to him. And he was noted as being one of the greatest poets of his time. He wrote, There is a fountain filled with blood. God moves in mysterious ways. This song, it expresses a desire for a closer walk with God, even when struggling, struggling with things or straying from the Lord and wanting to return to the presence and the greatness of being in fellowship with the Lord. So I thought it would be a give and go with the sermon. 305, Oh for a Closer Walk. 578. 578. I need thee every hour.
Raven, I invite you to come forward at this time. This has been a day that I've been looking forward to for years now. I got to know Brent a good while back, and I heard his testimony, and I thought, man, I can't wait until the church hears this. And I believe that you all will be transformed as well as they share their heart for a certain ministry here this morning. Brent and Raven, would you share?
All right, well, we're here to share a bit of a story and ask for donations to a nonprofit organization that has blessed us greatly. I talked to Sean about it a while back, and he was like, oh, you got to run by Micah. And I was like, well, okay, he's going to make us do way more than we were hoping to. We'd like to come here and say our piece to go. And he's like, no, you got to tell the whole story. So, anyways, hopefully don't get too long-winded here. But back, what, seven, eight years ago, me and Raven met, and we started dating for a lot of the wrong reasons. We stayed together. And we both were just in a really bad place spiritually and emotionally, mentally, and back and forth at each other all the time. Finally, we called it quits. We were done. There was just no way it was ever going to work. And then she dropped a bombshell that we were expecting, which at the moment, yeah, we obviously met up and went over what to do about it. And we were like, just for where we were and how we were to each other, and we just thought there was we just thought there was no way we were going to be able to bring a child into a broken home like that, because we knew that's just where it was heading. But thankfully, we had a big roadblock in that decision, which is our Lord. And he used AvaCare. When we looked up, we started looking up places to go to terminate the pregnancy. And when you Google that, AvaCare pays extra to be the first option on that Google search. And so that's the first place that popped up. So we were like, and she asked if that worked. And I was like, I don't care, whatever. We'll just do this, get it over, and never see each other again. And so I decided to go with her. And we went in there and met with them. And they separated us up and had like a counselor come in and talk with us. And they did ultrasounds and let us see that while the devil had been planting seeds in our brains of just kind of to help cloud things over and make it seem like what we were doing was justified. Being able to see that heartbeat and all that just really kind of helped click what it was we were doing. And with talking with our counselors, they just really, helped open our eyes to what we were about to do and what we were planning on doing. And we both decided that was just, would have been the most horrible decision of our lives. And they'd sever us up and they brought us back together, and we were both just like, there's no way we can go through with this. So just thank the Lord for guiding us and for placing AvaCare in our lives in the time that we were. And just the other day, somebody asked us where we would have been if we had split up like ourselves. And I was thinking about why we would have been separated and what would have put us there. And I think it's more, they do more than help the little babies. They really help the souls of those who are going through that decision. Because I know if we would have, went through it, we would have never, probably would have never bounced back. We were dwelling in so much sin and shame. I know that just would have been the tipping point. And I really just can't imagine we ever would have came back from it. So thank the Lord for his guidance, and just very thankful that he put AvaCare in our lives. And now we got two beautiful little girls. And a third one on the way. And none of it would have happened if we would have, if AvaCare hadn't been in our lives.
Now I'm going to ask you for your money. So AvaCare is doing a fundraiser. It's called the Change for Life Baby Bottle Campaign. It starts today and it goes through to February 15th. And the goal is to fill up baby bottles with change, cash, checks. There's these flyers in the back. There's a table set up with bottles and the flyers. If you don't want to donate your money and you kind of want to stay behind the scenes, you can take a flyer, scan the QR code, and donate through there. There's a place where you can put the church's name, so please do that. Let's see. As you fill them up, you can bring the bottles back. You can always grab more bottles. If we run out of bottles, I can grab more. Return them to the library, Micah, me, just the library is fine. Also, if you do take a bottle and you decide that you don't want to participate, that you would rather just donate online, still bring them back because they have to replace them, and it kind of defeats the purpose of a fundraiser if they have to buy more bottles. And I think that is all.
This life is a testimony to a ministry. And we as a church stand on life. We believe that all lives are important to God, that all lives were created by him for a purpose. And we have a lot of bottles. And I want them to all be gone, and I want them to all be filled up with coins, with money, supporting this ministry. It's easy to say you support something when it doesn't cost you anything. And I would love for you to put your finances where you say your mouth is in this regard. And because we are looking at a life that is a testimony to the work that this ministry does. If you're a child, this isn't just for your parents. It's a great opportunity to take one of these bottles, fill it up with some coins, some money that you have, and give it towards this ministry as well. And thank you guys for sharing. I know that in church culture, they like to act like this thing never happens in church. And the reason I wanted them to share is because I assume that some of the rest of you have either made that other decision in terminating a pregnancy, or you could come to that temptation in the future. This is a large group of people. And I want you to know that you're not alone, and that there is an army of people, and more importantly, a God who loves you and cares for you and desires to walk with you through even the darkest time of your life. And if you come to that point in your life, I want you to remember this moment and know that there is hope and there is joy on the other side of difficult situations in your life. I invite you to stand and then run and get bottles immediately after. Let's pray together. God, I want to thank you so much. We each have a testimony. And as Blake preached about this morning, we all have an old man. Father, I ask that we would be at war with that old man. I thank you for the testimony of Brent and Raven. We thank you so much for aligning people, for aligning a ministry, for allowing that option to come up first in the search results. We give you the honor and the praise, and we thank you for Natalie's life, Lord. I believe that you have appointed her for a purpose and for a special work in her life as a testimony of your goodness and your faithfulness to her. And I just pray a blessing over her and the rest of the children of this congregation, Lord. I pray that we would value them well, that we would steward them well, and that we would align them well to hear your Spirit's voice in their lives. God, I pray that we would go from here and be your church outside these walls, that we wouldn't just talk a good talk, be here on a Sunday morning, and then leave and go back to the old flesh ways on a Monday morning, Lord, but that we would experience you, that we'd be at war with the old man. We thank you for what you've done in our life. We thank you that there is an old man and there's a resurrected new man. Thank you for that. Thank you for Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You are dismissed.